triple the crowd tonight. God bless you. It's sure good to see you. Love for today in your flesh. You'd like to be today when you're full of energy. I've been out in the sun all day today, and I feel like I'm running against with a rubber band tied to my back. I just need the Lord to cut it. We'll move just fine. I count it a privilege to be in the house of the Lord with you this evening. I think the Lord's got something special for us. He'll give you exactly what you come looking for. You know, if you come expecting a blessing, I believe each one of us will all leave with a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
So thank you, everybody, for your sacrifice and coming. I want to say hello to our sister Judy. I'm sure glad to see you. God bless you. Amen. She was joking with me. She said, Daniel, no long-winded. I said, no promises. I'll do my best, though. I know everyone's hot. So I want to speak to you on a thought tonight on strongholds, wisdom versus faith. Strongholds, wisdom versus faith. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Got a few scriptures, and I'll do my best not to be long-winded, but you know, it's a two-part deal. You guys operate the gift, so you know, you just pull, and we'll just go right through it. It says, you guys are my time clock. You know, that's what I go by. It's when the Spirit's moving, that's when I go. When the Spirit stops, well, I got to stop. So that's and I know Judy was just teasing with me, so I probably shouldn't have said that, but we sure do appreciate you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And if you won't mind, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I'm sure we'll have these on the multimedia for you too. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Let's just bow our head to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. I ask you, Lord, help me to put my flesh under subjection to your word now. Lord, that you just be yielded to you. Lord, I don't want to say anything out of tone, Lord, of anything. I want to be in the demeanor that you want me to be in tonight, Lord. Help me to be conscious of your people, knowing that they're tired. Lord, touch every heart. May they be able to push their flesh to the side now, putting it under subjection to the word, that we can hear the message that you have for us tonight, Lord. What is it you want us to capture in this message tonight? Help us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to say God bless you. Sister Brittany and the Wheeler family, too. Good to see you guys this evening. See my little buddies walking through the door. I was glad to see it. I got a quote I want to read to you. It's a little lengthy, but please just catch on to what I think the Lord wants us to see. He says, now faith simply trusts in his word, see? That's what he wanted them to do. Now, you get the background now. That's exactly what God wanted the human race to do, to trust in every word he said. And Eve trusted a whole lot of it, but one little thing. She accepted, well, if I become full of wisdom, maybe it was that way. Maybe it's supposed to be this way, see? Then right there is where she lost her hold. That's where she started sinking right there. And that's where the whole human race went right down to the grave from right there, because she doubted one word. Some of them say, well, I believe this is true. I believe that's true. I believe God can save, but I don't believe God can heal. I believe the Holy Ghost, sure, fell on the day of Pentecost, but there's no place where there's anything that says the Holy Ghost fell after the Pentecost. Oh, brother, that's the way they say it. Call themselves the churches of Christ, see, having a form of godliness, but denying the word thereof. But you see, you must believe. Don't reason, believe. Don't try to have wisdom, just believe the word. Wisdom tries to reason and present a better way. But that's exactly what Satan told Eve. Now, you're not going to die. Surely you won't, because God's a good God. He is a good God, and the only way I can trust him to be a good God, that he'll stay with his word. How can you expect me to be truthful when I'm not truthful? If I tell you one thing and do something else, my word's pretty shaky, see? What makes him a good God is because he spoke the word, and were to live by that word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then God's got to stay with that word. That's what makes him a good God. Now, if he said, well, I'll let them get by with this, I'll let them do this, well, that's all right. Oh, I'll move over here. Why, he's a wishy-washy, see? He isn't God. He's just an ordinary man, see? But to be a good God, he has to stay with his word. That puts every child, if he'll let this one commit adultery and this one drink a little and this other one can lie a little, this other one can steal a little and this other one can do this, then make them just toe the line to come in, he's got one way and all that goes in is going in that gate. Straight is a gate and narrow is the way. No defilement will enter therein. Anytime God made a requirement, there was a punishment if you don't do that requirement. Yeah. You know, hey, in today's generation, you'll see a lot of time is, all right, I'm going to count to seven if you don't do it. And then they'll go, all right, I'm going to number 10. If you don't do it, God, he says, you better do it, because if you don't do it, there's an answer for it. There's going to be a repercussion for it. And that's so important is to see anytime God's going to bring judgment, he always gives mercy. And there's a provided way to receive that mercy. And if the people don't accept the provided way, then there's nothing left but judgment. And the same goes for mercy. I want a God that will hold his word when they're saying there's judgment. Because if he'll hold his word when there's judgment, he'll hold his word when there's mercy. Amen. Right. He's the same God, because he can't be wishy-washy. And Brother Branham, he talked about in this message, he talked about how that there was a man by the name of Bishop Sheen, is what his name. He's from a Catholic church, and he was on a live broadcast from the radio. And he said, for the people to live the Bible would be like them walking through muddy water. Now, this was a man that's a leader in the church, that's supposed to be a leader to the people. And he said, for you to really live the Bible would be for you to walk through muddy water. Basically, what he's saying is, it's impossible. You can't live the Bible, so you may as well not even try. You know, just live certain parts of the Bible. But you know what? I believe that God, he gives us a word, and if he expects us to do something, he will give you what you need in order to do that. Right. You say amen. Amen. We can't do it in ourselves, so God gave us his spirit, and his spirit inside of us is what lives the word. And that's what the intellects can't catch. They try to use their intellects. It's not us. It's something inside me. Right. You know, there's a conviction inside me, inside your heart, you and my heart. There's a conviction inside you, and someone will start saying foul language or something, and you'll walk away. It's a spirit that's inside you that's grieved by what's going on. Right. And that's what it is. It's a spirit that God put inside our heart, and that's what lives this word. And that spirit is what's going to give you a body change. Amen. Right. Basically, this man's saying it is impossible to live the Bible. And this was a leader in the church. He's saying that God loves us so much that God's not going to throw you into sin or into hell if you do certain things. Because God loves you. He's saying, you know what? God, there's, you know, the Bible says that there's requirements of holiness. But you know what? God loves you so much, God's not going to cast you out. He's not. God loves you so much, it doesn't matter how you dress. And you know what comes to my mind? You shall not surely die.
That's right.
You know, Eve heard the commandments of the word. She was told, this is the stronghold. You stay behind this word. But see, if you just try to do it with wisdom alone, you will fail. It must be a revelation. This word must be by faith. And that's the thing about a Christian walk. They that you must walk by faith. This Christian walk is by faith, young people. And when the Lord was giving me this message, I was thinking of a lot of young people, and I was really expecting to see only two. so praise the Lord, we got more young people, you know. And all of you are young, you know. But then, you know what? God has given us a way to have a stronghold to where we can overcome the enemy. And I looked up the definition of a stronghold, and it means to be a fortified place. It means to be a place of security or survival. God has given us, think of it, God has given you a place where you can be fortified against the devil. He's given you a place to where you can have security and you can have survival. Why would you need security and survival? It's because you're going to be under attack.
Right.
And brother and sister, we are under attack.
Right.
Our young people are under attack. We need to be attention. We must stay focused and acknowledge we are not on just a playground. This is a battleground. And there is a devil that has instructed his sergeants to come and attack you every day of your life. The enemy is focused. He's telling his sergeants, all of his men, get ready, and I want you to attack them. You fight, and you fight, and you fight. You're not fighting a devil that's going to just try a little bit and quit. We're going to fight a devil every day of this life that is going to fight you with everything that they have. Think of it. These devils know they've got a fiery grave coming to them. And they know this is their last chance to put their final blow in, and the devil is going to fight you. But we can have a stronghold where we can have survival, where we can have victory, and that is in faith in this word. Now, there's wisdom, as we'll get into, but it's faith. We must walk by faith. Eve was depending on man's wisdom for it to be her stronghold, and it failed her. It's a scary thing to think of someone that is depending on a stronghold when they have their confidence in a stronghold, and it's going to fail. And they have confidence in it. It makes me think of the Indians, the American Indians, and how that they were going to fight the white man was coming to take their land. And these Indians were men that were, they knew the wilderness. There's different Indians from all over the world. Everybody knows that. You've got different ones. And the thing about the Indians is they were all cliquish to where they didn't want to be with the other Indians because they were of a different tribe. But you know, my mind and my heart, whenever I was in college, I really got to do some studying on the Indians and how this was. And the Lord just really brought this to me and just really showed me. If these Indians would have come in unity with one another, they could have been a very powerful source. Because, you know, different Indians had different tactics of weaponry, different ways of survival. They have different ways that they knew how to overcome the desert, the woods, all kinds of different ways. The Indians all had this, but they had cliques to where they wouldn't. That's your tribe. This is my tribe. Right. And the devil tries so hard to cause division among people, because whenever you can divide a people, you can conquer them. But you know what? If the same people can come under unity, brother and sister, you can put your lick of fire then. Imagine the weaponry they could have had if these Indians would have come together in unity and say, we have one common enemy. Unfortunately, it's you and I. Yeah. The white man. The white man coming into his land. And what I want to show you is when the white man come against the Indian, when the Indian was on his territory, he could defeat the white man every single time. And the white man began to realize that. So what did he do? He said, we can't defeat him one-on-one. So what we will do, we will starve him to death. And so they took these men down the trains. And I know you know the history of it. They began to shoot all the buffalo. And the buffalo would die. And these Indians that could defeat the devil, they could defeat the white man over and over again when they were strong, when he had health. But what did the devil do? He starved them to death. And that's exactly the way the devil will attack you, young people.
Right.
The devil will try to starve you to death. Because whenever you are properly nourishing on the Word of God, whenever you're properly in your ground, in your territory, you know, I come from Panama. I can tell you all about Panama, the ins and outs of it. You guys probably couldn't do that because you're not from there. That was my territory. That was my stomping ground. Well, God has given us a word that is our stomping grounds, to where we know this is my territory. And I know how to get there. I know how to navigate through. Why? It's my territory. And God has given us a territory. It's in the word. Eve had a territory. And if she would have stayed in her territory, she could have resisted the devil steadfast and he would have fled. But she got out of her territory. What do you mean she got out of her territory? She leaned over toward intellectual wisdom. She began to reason. Brother, listen to me, young people. Your worst enemy in this life is reason. Because whenever you begin to reason with it, there's no stopping.
Yeah.
It's got to be, yeah, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay.
Right.
Amen. and if it be the will of the Lord. And that's the most important thing. We must know the will of the Lord for our life. Amen. I imagine these Indians, they had a stronghold. They were worshiping. They were very emotional and all these things, knowing we're going to fight our enemy tomorrow, but their stronghold failed. There's a lot of people that have strongholds that's going to fail. A lot of people have finances. That's their stronghold. They had stock market. They had all kinds of things. The market crashed. Their stronghold's gone. A lot of young people, young men and women, their stronghold's their health. They're smarts. They're so smart. They're so strong. They can do that. It will fail you. There's one stronghold, brother and sister, and that is the revelation of this word, of knowing who we are in this word. Because everything else can fail, and that won't change. Amen? There's a point I want to get to. I got to get through this part to get to it, though. Many have depended upon even the pastor. The pastor as your stronghold. The pastor can fail you. The ministers can fail you because we're men. Is that right? And you know what? You always remember something. A minister's got a bullseye on his back 10 times more than what you will, because the devil will always try to strike the head. Right. Always remember that. So pray for your ministry. But your ministry, that's not your stronghold. Your stronghold is God.
Yeah.
It is the Word. That's your stronghold. And then the ministry will follow that Word. Amen. Amen. As we're going to get to. In Philippians 3, 12 through 21. Philippians 3, 12 through 21. It is not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if I had apprehended that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and in anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Now catch this. For many of them whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, for God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, whose mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, and that is may be fashioned like unto this glory body, according to the working thereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I can say with Paul that I'm pressing towards that mark. You know, I know that's something I want to point here, is their ministry, whenever they're preaching to you, they're not saying, be perfect like me. We're saying, I'm not saying I've attained everything, but I'm pressing toward this thing. That's where I'm going, and I'm forgetting the things that are behind me, and I'm pressing forward. And that's what we have focused on in the ministry. The ministry is a man in himself, but it's not the man, it's God working through that ministry. And always remember, even the minister, he has to do this same thing that I'm telling you tonight. For you to overcome, you have to forget the things that are behind you and press toward this mark. And as the ministry, as Paul said, as I'm following this word, follow me. Because we're going to take this land. Say amen.
Amen.
It's so important that we follow the ministry and follow the leadership that God gives us. In Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 25, he says, for that which I do, this is Paul. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh of the law of sin. I remember first time I read that scripture, like, what in the world did I just read? And let me break it down for you. Paul is saying, I want to do these things, but I'm doing that instead. I don't want to do these things, but I find myself doing these things. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the bondage of this flesh? Can you young people say amen?
Amen.
Your flesh, and Paul said, in myself, these are the things I want to do. I've got a love for the law of God inside me. In my heart, I want to serve God the best I can. But this guy right here is fighting me all the days of my life.
Yeah.
If the devil is fighting Paul, he will fight you.
Right.
He will fight your ministry.
Right.
Then we have to remember, when the devil comes against that, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't say, you know what, I may as well just give up. There's nothing. No. Forget those things that are behind. Say, Lord, forgive me. Get back in line and you start marching again.
Amen.
Amen. Because that's what the overcomer does. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of fighters, they can fight as long as they're winning. I hate to call out names, Lord, but it's a, I won't call out a name. A fighter. Won all these fights, won every time, was big shot, big tough, and everything, until they lost. And they couldn't take the loss. Brother and sister, it's not how we handle the victories. It's how whenever you have a fall and you're able to pick yourself back up and keep moving forward.
Amen.
And I will say this one, the famous one. Mike Tyson always said, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And it's so true. You can think, this is my strategy. This is my plan. This is how I'm going to do my life and all this stuff. Yeah, that sounds real good. Wait till you get punched in the mouth. Because things change. You say amen. All of a sudden, you got a baby. All of a sudden, you've got this. All of a sudden, I'm not saying that's a punch in the mouth, but you know what I'm saying. Sometimes you can feel like it. Come on, sisters. I figure I got at least got one amen out of that. You know, things in life happen. You can have plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. But there's times all your plans, you'll find out in reality, it don't work like that usually. That doesn't mean you're not going to get your goal. That doesn't mean you're going to do that thing. It means you've got to get back up and start marching again.
Amen.
You got to have a goal. By wisdom, man can train a horse or an animal. He can train all these things to do something. He can teach a horse how to do what you want. You can teach a dog how to do what you want. You can teach a hog how to do what you want. But he'll always still be that animal what he is. All the training that you give him, all the intellectual training that you give that dog, that horse, or that pig, he is still what he is. It does not change him.
Right.
Intellectual wisdom will not give you a birth.
Amen?
Amen? Intellectual wisdom is good. It has good benefits of it, but it will not give you a birth. Intellectual will tell you how to handle. That we live in the age of knowledge where you get books. This is how you conquer your finances. This is how you have a good marriage. This is how you do these things. This is how you cope with pornography. This is how you do these things. How do you overcome these things? That's intellectuals, but God has given us a power of the Holy Ghost that can break the chains of darkness. He's given us the power of the Holy Ghost that can change your nature, who you are on the inside. And all the wisdom, all the intellects from your mind, it can never produce a birth. It'll put you in the right direction. It'll help you go to church. But it takes faith for a birth. It's a revelation. How many of you want victory in your life? It's not by just wisdom by doing that. It's by faith, brother and sister. Because wisdom says, I'm so tired, I can't go anymore. I may as well quit. If I'm in the Marines and I'm running, by wisdom, I better quit because I'm exhausted. My body's exhausted. I sprung my ankle. I did this. I may as well quit. But faith says, it don't matter how you feel. Keep pressing. You say amen.
Amen.
Whenever you're going through a trial, Brother Brennan talked about a sister that was having to have up to 14 shots a day. 14 shots a day. And she was so tired, she would double up on her medicine to help her sleep at night, and she still couldn't sleep. And it was making her to a point where her husband said, we need to take you to an insane institute where they can try to help you get some sleep. Imagine being so tired that your husband said, we need to take you over to an insane institution. Wisdom says, you know what? You're doing the best you can do. Go take the medicine. But they had heard in a God would heal people sick that come through the meeting. And when they come to the service, they heard this and said, you know what? Before we go to this insane institute, let's go to this meeting. Let's go try this one more time. Wisdom would say quit. Wisdom would say try the medicine, try the doctors, try these things, because scientifically they can prove why you're not going to sleep. Yeah. You know, science is good. Doctors are good. But it takes away from faith, then it becomes a problem. And this woman, if she was to listen to the science, they would say, you know what, just go take the medicine. But what was it? Something inside her said, God can heal me.
Right.
And this woman, not even 3 seconds in the prayer line, 100% healed. Mm-hmm. Wisdom or faith? Wisdom would say, just take the medicine and do what you need to do and doing it physically. Faith says, I don't know how to fix it. God help me. God heal me. Mm-hmm. And God can heal you. Say amen.
Amen.
At the end of the day, whenever Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the Bible don't say anything about him getting tired, losing strength. But whenever the woman with the blood issue reached out and touched Jesus, Jesus said, I felt virtue leave me. Brother Branham said the reason was God was using the gift inside Jesus to raise Lazarus. But when the woman received her healing, that was the woman using the gift inside Jesus. You say amen.
Amen.
You can use the gift. You can pull the gift and you can draw strength from Jesus Christ.
Right.
You can, whenever you're tired and you're weak, this woman was in a bad condition. She was in a blood issue where she was going to die. But what did she do? Wisdom would say, go to the doctor. Try this, try that. But faith says, touch him. If you can touch the hem of his garment, God can heal every infirmity in your life.
Right.
You say amen.
Amen.
I know I'm losing time, so I'm not going to read the scriptures on this. I want you to go back and study it. The young ruler that went before Jesus. This young ruler that went before Jesus, he was humble. He bowed down before him. So, Master, what must I do to be saved? This was a man that knew how to approach him. This was a man that was raised in church. This was a man that absolutely, I believe, had a mama and a daddy that loved God. This was a man that mom and daddy said, I want the absolute best for my son. Take him to church, do all these different things. But he knew he lacked something. And whenever he went before Jesus, he humbled himself before Jesus. And he said, Jesus, what must I do to be saved? He said, love thy mother and thy father. Follow the commandments. He said, well, I've done this since my youth. This was a Christian. This was a man that thought he had a stronghold by doing the wisdom, by doing all the right things. But Jesus could discern his heart. He said, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And this young man walked away sorrowful because he had one thing inside him he was not willing to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
Brother and sister, the devil, Eve, she followed 99% of the word. That's not what caused the fall. The fall was the one thing she didn't hold on to. In the word. And the devil will come at you. There's 99% of your life, 85% of your life, whatever it is. The devil's not after that part. He's after the part that you're not surrendering to the Lord.
Right.
I'm going to read a quote to you about this young ruler. I love y'all read that when you go home. It's in Matthew the 19th chapter. Look what Brother Brim says. He said, now, let's look at this fellow for a few minutes that we read about. No doubt that this kid was born in a good home, like you kids are. He was brought up with good parents, because it proved it. When Jesus presented to him the commandments of God, he said, I've kept these since a youth. It showed that he had been brought up right. He wasn't just a snatch out, and you know, he had been brought up to know what was right, kids like you are. Probably come up under a God-fearing mother and daddy to teach him right when he was a kid. Well, that's good. Get me. Got too hot today, I think. Maybe as a little baby, his mother had high ambitions of him being a great man someday. His father was worth money that could school him and give him an education that he could. He'd come out with a good education and be able to be something in the world. And with the sincerity of his mother and dad educating this kid, and perhaps come to his graduation time like you are, see, the time when he passed through school and had his education, no doubt that he perhaps was the pride and joy of that mother and daddy's life. No doubt in them days he had fine horses like you have automobiles. And the good dad and mother like you all have that sees it, you've got good clothes and a car and can just enjoy life, just something like you have today. And the father and mother praying constantly that their son would not turn out just an ordinary man, that he would be an extraordinary man. Now, all parents want that. Did you hear Jesus refer to the commandment, honor thy father and mother, and then stopped? See? And that's the ambition of any parent, to do the best for their children that they can. Educate them. Give them things maybe that they wasn't able to get. That's the way I feel about my children. I think sometimes going to school, now I think send Becky and Sarah and Joseph into these high schools and things where all this is going on at, I think I'd take them and get back into the mountain and raise them up there that they like the Indians lived. But here's what it is. What's in the kids going to come out? No matter where it is, it's going to come out. If it's evil in there, it's going to come out in the Indian camp. If it's good in there, it'll come out in any camp, see? It's what's in the kid, the makeup of the kid, what's on the inside of you. What you are now is what you'll probably be the rest of your life. You're on a changing spot. Do you know that 86% of the conversions of Jesus Christ is done before 21 years old? It shows it. Statistics shows it. 86% that come to Christ come before they're 21. After you pass that age, you become more molded or set in your ways. Oh, it's possible, sure. They come 70, 80 years old, but it's very rare. You make yourself when you're young. You set your ambitions to what you want to do and what you're trying to achieve in life. You think of it. As you think, of course, your mind is presented into your mind by an unknown something that dominates your mind. And then when it becomes in your mind, then you speak it, that you're going to do it, and then your ambitions drive you to do it. You say amen. 86% of conversions is before they're 21 years old. And then after 21 years old, it's harder and harder and harder and harder because they're set in their ways. Brother Brennan said the reason it is because what happened to this young ruler is his ambitions. He had ambitions that he wanted to be rich. He had ambitions that his ambitions were, I want to live a peaceful life. And there's nothing wrong with wanting a peaceful life. Who wants a peaceful life? Mm-hmm. Now, if anyone said no, you need to repent because we all want peaceful life. But that can't be our only ambition, because if your only ambition is to live a peaceful life, you will live for yourself. Yeah. And I can't give to them because that will take away from my peace for myself. Brother and sister, the real peace that you can have is when you are living for one another. Amen. It's when you're doing something for somebody that they can't do it themselves. And you're able to lay your life down for them. Amen. That's Amen. That's where real peace comes from. Right. It's whenever you're able to lay your life, brother and sister, that is a Christian, is to lay your life down one for another, and then you get the real peace. Amen. Amen. If our ambition is just to live a peaceful life, we'll never have peace. I planted a garden here not too long ago. It's funny, amazing how time flies. It's probably been about 15 years ago now. My dad's garden. And real quickly, before I go to this, I just want to tell this story here. And the Lord reminded me of this yesterday when I was watering our garden. This garden that we planted, there was a septic line that was kind of in the backyard, and we didn't put it right on top of the septic, but we put it kind of beside the septic in that area. And that septic had green grass. You ever want to know where septic's at in your backyard? Real green grass. Is that right? Like I said, I didn't put the garden right inside it, but that septic was right close to it where it was fertilizing all of that ground next to where my garden was going to be. And this is the point I'm trying to get to you, is the ground that is around you can help you or it can hurt you. Because, you know, if my ground where my garden is, I'll usually water around my garden a little bit, because if I just watered right where my garden's at, right where tomatoes at, the ground around it will draw from that life and it'll never give anything back. It'll just take. You've got to water the area around you, because the area around you must be fertile. Because whenever it's a fertile and it's got water, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be life.
Right.
And let me make this real simple for you. If you are around people all the time that all they do is take, and they don't give anything back, you're not at it. All they're going to do is draw the life out of you, and then you're not going to gain anything.
Yeah.
It matters who we hang around, brother and sister. Yeah. If you're around people that are dry in the spirit all the time, they will make you dry.
Right.
Does that make sense? We need to be we need to keep ourselves in a fertile atmosphere of the joy, of peace, of long-suffering, of positivity, and the right ambition. Because if you are around people that are not under that ambition, and their ambition is to get rich, to get money, to get the house, to get the car, to get this, and that's their ambition, that will be what drives them, and that's what happened to this young ruler. This young ruler got under an ambition where he wanted to be rich. And the reason we know that is because the Lord told him, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And he walked away sorrowful. And if you look later on in the chapters of the scriptures, this same young ruler, back here, he was humble and said, Lord, what must I do to receive eternal life? What must I be able to do this? But later on in life, this man, because he was living for himself, he got so greedy. He was looking for money. He wanted peace. He wanted a peaceful life. Don't bother me. But here come a bum that was knocking on his door. He said, can I have just a little bit of crumbs? Can I have just a little bit of bread and water? And he turned him away. And the man died and went to hell. How many knows the scripture I'm talking about? The man died. And this young ruler found himself in hell. He said, please, Abraham, go to my brothers. Raise up and go tell my brothers, don't come here. Go tell them. How did he know Abraham? This man knew the scriptures. Men started as boys. Every man that you see out there that's out in the world, that's lost, he started out as a boy.
Right.
He started out having a desire to serve God. It would amaze you to see how many serial killers wanted to be a preacher at one time.
Yeah.
It would amaze you to see so many people that are bound in all the sin at one time when they were a little boy. They just wanted to go to church and love Jesus. They wanted to do right. But somewhere down the road, their ambitions got wrong. Listen to me, young people. Our ambition must be to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And to live lay our life down for one another.
Amen.
Because that's where real peace will come. This young ruler, he started out as someone that wanted to serve God, but down life, he got so stingy. He got to a point where a man wanted just a little bit of crumbs, and he turned him away. Because he got so stingy. Brother and sister, that's the way the devil works. We must fortify ourselves in a stronghold.
Yeah.
Fortify ourselves in a stronghold by this word.
Yeah.
And said, Lord, help me. Help me by faith, Lord, to become who you want me to be.
Amen.
Help me by faith, Lord, to serve my brother and my sister.
Amen.
We'll read one more quote, then we'll quit, okay? One more, and we'll be done. I worked out in the heat all day. Trust me, I know it was hot today. Let me read a couple of scriptures first, and we'll read the quote. Job 28, these are just a couple. Job 28:28. I'll just read them real quick. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And Psalms 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. In Proverbs 1:5-9, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they are the ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. In Proverbs 15:16-17, he says, Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Brother and sister, I would rather have bitter herbs for supper, but have love. There's nothing greater in this life. You want to talk about rich. It's having a family that loves one another and loves this word.
Amen.
You want to know what rich is? That's what it is.
Amen.
Real rich and real fortification is whenever you are in a divine love from God around the word.
Amen.
Where you're saying, Lord, I want the interpretation of the proverb, so to speak. I want to know what the message, when it speaks, I want to know what the proverb is. You say, amen? I want to know, what is it that God is speaking to me? And I'm going to read the quote I promised, and then I hate being that preacher that says one more. I always said I'd never do that. I did. Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm pressing toward. This is the last one. Brother and sister, tonight, whatever you do, whatever you think, you cross Jordan with God. Go on over and separate and leave the world behind. Let God train you for his own service. We are living in a day before his revival, but God's searching out, trying to find hearts. Look, he found a man by the name of Paul, old self-styled Pharisee, but he had to work him over like before he could become a disciple. Look what he done all down through the ages to men. He had to take them and pump their theology out of them. And Paul, as soon as he saw the vision, he didn't go up to Jerusalem to Gamaliel, the great teacher, the greatest in Israel, that he had been taught by. He never went back to them to consult them. Why? He never even went to Jerusalem for 14 years later, but he went down to Egypt in a prayer meeting. There God let him write many books of the New Testament. See, God's looking for men. He had somebody he wanted to write that testament, so he just chose Paul, and he just got all that theology out of him, and Paul said he had to forget all that he ever knew to learn Christ. I'm leaving you with that. Whatever you have, whatever theology you have, humbly come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be your man.
Amen.
Your woman, your sister. Lord, I want to be your man, and I want to be a good servant to you. I want to serve you well, Lord. And I want my ambitions to be well. I want my ambitions to be your ambitions, Lord. Help me to humble myself before that. Let's all stand. Or I'll start preaching again. Watch Brother Tony to come. Come quick, brother. Search our ambitions, brothers and sisters. And let's say, Lord, help me. And I want to say this as he's coming up. I hate it because I see around the message. A lot of people say, you're wrong if you make money. That's wrong. The scripture doesn't say it's wrong to make money, because you got to have money to live. But it's your ambitions. As long as your ambition is in the right direction, because it's the love of the money is the root of all evil.
Right.
So it's nothing wrong of having a good job. There's nothing wrong with providing. There's nothing wrong with that. But make sure your ambition is right with this first,
amen.
And be willing to eat the bitter herbs. Because if you do that, God will bless you.
Amen.
Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I love you. And I didn't get to get half the stuff I wanted to say, but Lord, I know that you are in control of this, Lord. And I ask you to touch these young people, Lord. And I love them so much, Lord. I've seen them since they were little, just growing up, Lord. And in you, Lord. And I see that they're becoming parents, Lord. And, Lord, going to college, and some of them. And some of them are married, Lord. And they got children, Lord. Father, help us to have the right ambition. And help us to have the right stronghold, Lord, where it's not just depending on wisdom, but it's a revelation of who you are. It's going back to a birth, Lord, that you did something in our hearts, Lord. Lord, I read a quote earlier. It's a hard quote for the world of saying the most people that will surrender their heart to you, that do it before they're 21 years old. Because later on it gets harder and harder and harder because they're set in their ways and they don't want to change. But Lord, we want to change for you. Lord, I want to be molded by you. I want to be that clay in your hand, God. I ask you to touch these young people tonight, Lord. Lord, that we can lay ourselves before you, Lord. Say, Lord, here I am before you, Lord. Mold me. Make me, Lord. Make my ambitions your ambitions, Lord. Lord, help these young wives, Lord, to be the wife that you want them to be, Lord. Lord, the husbands to be the husband that you want them to be. Lord, the young men, Lord, help them to be the young men that you want them to be, Lord. God, I ask you, touch the young sisters, Lord God. Help them to say, Lord, I want my ambitions to be your ambitions, Lord. Lord, we lay it at your feet tonight, Lord. Come and to speak to hearts tonight, Lord. Be in our midst tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name.
yourself to him, then he will use you. Amen. I heard a lot of good things tonight, Joe. Just things to take away. Just, you know, remember that Satan uses exploits. Right? He exploits your weaknesses. And if he has to, he will create those weaknesses in you. Right? Brother Bram said you got a punch coming. And so he'll create those weaknesses if he has to. And get you, as Brother Daniel said, get you out of your spot. Get you out of your place. When he said that, I was thinking about, you know, those of us who plant gardens and things like that. No. You can take it. You know, we plant things, and sometimes they just don't do too good. But if you ever notice, if you ever find a plant that comes up on its own, something you didn't plant, it will thrive more than anything else. I had a pepper plant come up last year in a place where I didn't plant peppers. And last year was a terrible year for growing things. But that thing thrived, and where I was watering everything else a whole bunch, I just barely gave that thing any water, and it thrived. And, you know, the thing is that God will put you where he wants you, and you'll thrive. But Satan will come along, and he'll try to get you something, get you to thinking, you know, the phrase, grass is always green on the other side. Anything you do in your life, make sure the Lord is leading you to do that, you know. And so, if people can just get a revelation, Brother Daniel, we were talking about this earlier, if people could just get a revelation that if your heart's right toward the Lord, if you're pressing toward that mark, truly, then God will take care of your mistakes. Amen. Brother Ram said, your mistakes are not allotted to you. Amen. If we could just get a revelation of that, you know what? In my heart, I serve the Lord. And I do everything I can to flesh that out. And when I fail and I make mistakes, he's got an atonement there. Take care of those things. You know, I say this quite often, but an invincible army is not an army that doesn't fall. But an invincible army will always get back up. An invincible army never quits. Amen? So don't think you're a failure if you make mistakes. Just say, you know what? I'm an invincible army, and I'm going to get back up and keep pressing on.
Amen.
And so, you know, attitude, you probably heard this before, attitude is altitude, right? And, you know, I used to be in the position I'm in, work, and I have job openings that come open every once in a while, and I have to interview people. And there was this one guy that came in and interviewed for several jobs, several times, and his first name was Austin. I'm not going to say what his last name was, but this guy was so, he had such a lack of confidence. That I told some of the guys, and I've said this, that he made me feel like I didn't know what was going on. He just sucked out of me any confidence I had because he displayed such a lack of. There's no way in the world anybody would ever hire this guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, as Brother Daniel was saying, well, when you're around people and they just, you know, if you're around unbelievers and that's who you fellowship with, they're drawing the life out of you. And I know we have to be connected to the Holy Ghost, right? But God wants us to obey his word. And there's a certain fellowships that you can have, and there's things that we should shun and stay away from. And so just always remember those things. Amen, what you heard. They were all, it was all good instructions. Amen. And just leave this with you. Brother Ben said, the bride, she's ordained not to do what he did. Amen. So you just remember that as we go, as we worship and sing this song.